Heavenly Father, we thank you for your cross. We thank you that you died to save us. We thank you that you have poured out your Holy Spirit and that we can come together in your presence, knowing that you are here with us. Lord, as I speak this morning, I pray that you would speak through me, that any words that I say that are important and that you want us to remember, that you would write in our hearts. And those things which are not of you, that you would immediately help us to forget and to wipe from our minds. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Do please settle down.
Can I just say, well-behaved kids work is going on in there. So, well-behaved kids, come and follow me.
I'm well-behaved.
The Lord's coming.
All right, people, listen up. I've got two things that I want to say to you this morning. And they are... It's two concepts. I've got a passage of scripture I'm going to read to you in a minute. And I've got two concepts that I want to offer to you this morning. And they are a bit left field. Okay, so I'm coming at both of them. You may think when I talk about them, when I tell you what it is I'm going to say, that you'll think, yep, I know about that one. Yep, I'm with you on that. Well, maybe you might not be, because I'm coming at it sideways. Okay, so it's going to be a little bit different. Well, I don't know, the talk won't be... You'll see. I want to talk this morning about two things. I want to talk about welcome, and I want to talk about belonging. Okay, welcome and belonging. But I want to talk about welcome from the point of view of you being welcomed somewhere other than church. Okay, so what I'd like to just start with, just turn to the people around you. I want you to think of a situation maybe that you have been in where you have gone somewhere new. Maybe you've gone to, I don't know, you've changed school. You've been to a new school and you've started in a new school. You've moved into a new community and you've been along to some event where there have been a whole bunch of people you don't know. Maybe you decided that you were going to join a bridge club and you went along for the first time and you weren't sure that you knew anybody there, or you've gone to a running group. Ha! No, nobody ever does that, do they? And you weren't sure of what you were going to meet up with when you got there. You've been to a new job. And you've met a whole bunch of people and you're not sure of their names. You've been to, you know, you've... Whatever. Okay, so turn to your neighbours. What was your experience of welcome in a new place? What made you feel welcome? What made you feel uncomfortable? What was good about it? What process did you go through to actually feel that you were part of a new community? Okay, turn and talk to your neighbours. Just back the idea around a minute. What does it feel like for you to be welcomed in somewhere new? Is there a lens cap? Okay, let's draw some of these thoughts back together again. Anyone want to offer anything? You've been to a new place, a new group of people. What made you feel welcome in a new place? Megan.
If I've been somewhere new, it's usually because of you. So I usually just stand there and go, hi, I'm new.
I'm the vicar's daughter.
Yeah,
it's a bit of a good way. So you need an in. You need some way of being in. You know, you've got some connection with it. Okay, does that help? Having a connection with the people that you're meeting up with? Anything else?
When we
Emma?
Moved to Marden, some neighbours invited us to be on their quiz table for the PTA Korean quiz, so it immediately got us to know a whole group of people.
whole group of people because there was somebody actually went out their way to make you feel welcome. Okay, Elaine.
Last night she was in a social situation with people she hadn't met before. She was greeted with a glass of wine when she said that's it.
Food and drink help, particularly of the alcoholic variety. Okay, maybe not the alcoholic food unless you're going to have chocolates with Kirschen or something. You know. Okay, anything else? What else makes you feel welcome?
I turned up at my new job and they've written in magnets on the fridge, welcome Katie.
Oh, that's sweet, isn't it? That's nice. Yeah, okay, Michael? Having a mentor that actually works with you. Just somebody who is tasked with the job of making you feel welcome. All of those really important things. Okay, I want you to hold those thoughts in mind as I read to you a passage of scripture now. All right? Whoever welcomes you, welcomes me. Whoever welcomes me, welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet in the name of the prophet will receive a prophet's reward, and whoever welcomes a righteous person in the name of a righteous person will receive the reward of the righteous. Whoever even gives a cup of cold water, not to mention alcohol, to one of those little ones in the name of a disciple, truly I tell you that none of these will lose their reward. Okay, now, when we think of welcome in the church, our immediate reaction is welcoming people into the fellowship, isn't it? We want to make the fellowship as welcoming and as encouraging as possible. Okay, but what Jesus is talking about is not actually welcoming people in, it's you being welcomed somewhere else. And so part of the difficulty of what I want to talk to you about this morning is to get your minds out of getting people into Junction, but actually you getting out into the community. All right? Because actually, what this passage is about is actually about us engaging with the rest of the world. And surely that's what building the kingdom of God is about. We love being part of a fellowship, of a community, of a Christian body, of being together with people who we know and love. And I'll come on to that in a moment. But what this passage is saying is that we need to think not just about the time that we are together, but actually how we engage with people in the outside. Jesus said that those who welcome his disciples welcome him and his Father. Okay, so actually, whenever anybody welcomes you, they don't just welcome you as a person, they are welcoming God. That's a bit of a scary thought, isn't it? Yeah? Actually, because you carry God, if you like, where is God? In our hearts, in our minds. Yeah? We have the Holy Spirit within us. So when someone welcomes you, they are welcoming God. Now, there's a scary thought. But you go out in the name of God. But what it also means is I think that if you actually reflect on this for a little bit, that actually God isn't just in you. God is also in the person who is welcoming you. Would you agree with that? Is God already at work in the people who are welcoming you? Or is God totally absent out there and is only in here? Well, that's not true, is it? He's not just here, is he? God, by the power of his Spirit, is out there as well. Is that okay? You're happy? You're okay with that? So if God is out there, God isn't just about we carry God with us and therefore they haven't got God until we get to them. Yeah? Okay? Because I think that God is actually at work in the world as well. He's at work in the people you sit next to on the bus. He's at work in the person who hoots at you when you jump the traffic lights. Yeah? He's at work in the person that you meet when you're walking your dog. God is already there. And one of the things that mistakes that we make as a church is that we think, we have in our minds that actually we've got to be kind of sharing the gospel in a way that actually enables them to understand what we're saying. In we've somehow got enough courage to share God and plant the seeds. Sorry, mates, he's already there. He's gone ahead of you. Yeah? So what we need to do when we are looking at this idea of being welcomed into another place is to look ahead and say, where is God where we're going? Where is God in the lives and the hearts and the minds of the people that we're talking to, that we're meeting with, in our school, in our workplace, in the hospitality, for anyone who offers you even a glass of water in my name? I am there, and they will get their reward. Okay, now, talk amongst yourselves for a moment. What is God's reward? What is God's reward? What do you think the reward is for offering a disciple of Christ a glass of water? Go on, talk amongst yourselves. What is the reward for giving a disciple a glass of water? If you want to check out in your Bibles the bit I'm talking about, there's just two verses, Matthew 10, verses 40 to 42. Matthew 10, verses 40 to 42. What is the reward? It doesn't actually tell you what the reward is. All it says is, they will receive a reward. What do you think that reward might be? Anyone want to offer what God's reward might be? Emma.
Okay, so you welcome the name of a prophet, you get a prophet's reward. Yeah. And if you welcome the name of a righteous person, you get a righteous person's reward. If you welcome in the name of Jesus, you get Jesus' reward.
And what is Jesus' reward? That tells you that they're going to get a reward. There could be a variety of different awards. But what is the reward? Do you think the reward might be salvation? Yeah? Do you think it might be salvation?
No.
Good. Okay, we got some control. No. So actually looking after, welcoming a disciple doesn't give you salvation, or does? Does? Doesn't? Not sure. No?
Peace.
Peace? So... I don't know. What does the passage say? I tell you that none of these, actually it says, or Revised Standard Version, okay, says none of these will lose their reward. Okay? Now, I don't want to get into the pedantic, let's break this down into the Greek and analyze it down into the depths, okay? Okay, but I just want you to think for a moment. The concept I want you to get through your head with the welcome thing is, as you are welcomed into a new situation, a new place, new people, that God is already at work there. You're not going in alone. You're not going, I wonder what's going to happen. Yeah? God is already there. God is there at work in the hearts and the minds of the people that you will be interacting with in any new situation you go in. It's not about us holding on to this kind of boundaried truth that nobody else has, and we've got to get it out there somehow, because God is already out there. He's gone ahead of us. What we need to do is to be discerning in recognizing what God is doing in the hearts and the minds of the people we encounter. And as several different, attributed to lots of different archbishops, join in. Yeah? What is God doing in society? And how can we join in? How can we work with God in engaging with people outside of our church community? We believe that God is with us, that we belong to him, but we also believe that God is in the world and working in the hearts and minds of those we encounter. Okay, hold that thought in your head, because I want to turn the other coin on its head, if you like. I want us to start thinking about belonging. Now, I'd presume that if I asked any of you here this morning, that you would think of yourself as belonging to Junction. Yeah? You're part of the family of Junction? Maybe you belong to a family, a human family? Do you belong to a family? Yeah? Are you a member of a family? Yes? So you belong to a human family. Do you belong to a church family? Maybe not quite so sure. Okay. Do you belong to a social club? So a group of people who gets together to do something together. The men's group. Or the ladies group. Or a hobby group. Running. Making music. Doing climbing walls. Riding a bicycle. Yeah? Okay? We all belong in all sorts of different ways to a variety of different things. I want us to think about the whole concept of belonging for a moment. I think I want to divide it into four sections, and I'm getting these ideas from a book that I'm still in the middle of reading, actually, because it's taken me a while to get through it. But first of all, I would suggest that we belong to people. Or belong with people. That there are certain people that we feel a connection with, and so we belong with them. And that might be our church family, it might be our human physical family, it might be our friends. You know, we belong in a group of people. And actually we feel part of this church family because of the people in here. Would you say that that's true? Yeah? Actually, the people are important in being part of this family. And actually, we belong with one another because of the people. Most of us would say that we have friends within the church family. And actually, because of those friendships, we actually feel comfortable or, you know, relatively comfortable in Junction. And that makes us feel that actually we want to keep coming back. Because we've got friends here and the people give us a sense of belonging. But I think there are other belongings. We belong because of activities. Okay? Some things happen on a regular basis, an activity that actually we feel that we would like to be part of. Okay? That might be a regular activity, a weekly activity, it might be an annual activity. Some people would tell you that they are members of St. Peter's Church because they go to the Christingle once a year. Yeah? Yeah, you know what a Christingle is, I presume. Yeah? They go to the Christingle church, they go to the Christingle service once a year, so therefore they see themselves as part of St. Peter's fellowship. They may not attend, they don't necessarily know anyone else in the church, but St. Peter's is their church. If you're talking to people outside in the world, they have a sense of belonging. This is their church because they attend an activity there. They have attended a baptism, a wedding, a funeral. And therefore that makes it their church. They have a sense of belonging to St. Peter's because they have attended an activity. Now, that doesn't make sense to us because our belonging is about people. But maybe a sense of activity as well. When there's something happening in the church, we like going along to their activities, but our first sense of belonging is probably the people. But there are a whole bunch of people out there for whom belonging means attending an activity. Yeah? There are some people who love to run, and they belong to a running group because they run. They might not actually know people there very well, but they enjoy the running, so they go to the running group. Yeah, is that fair? Yeah. The bigger the group, the more likely they are to go and be anonymous. And they go for the activity. Some people come to St. Peter's when it's a communion service because they like being part of the communion. They don't come when it's a family service or all-age worship because they can't cope with all the chaos. Some people come because it's the 8 o'clock service and it's quiet. And they are part of St. Peter's because they like the quiet service. That particular activity attracts them. You will find 8 o'clockers don't talk to each other unless they've come with someone who they know. They sit a reasonable distance apart in the church so they don't have to engage with anyone else. But they come because they enjoy the activity of being part of a communion service in a Christian fellowship, a worship service that actually speaks to them and their heart and their mind. Okay. There are people who come together, who belong together because of an event. They have shared an experience. I pretty much guarantee that the people who attended the concert in Manchester all think of themselves as people who attended the concert in Manchester. Yeah? Okay. It doesn't matter that they don't know who each other are, that they've never met, and there are thousands of them. But actually, a really important moment in their life was defined by being at that event. Yeah? There are some people who feel that they belong to a group of people because they have shared an event with them. Yeah? And the same is maybe true of us. Many of you have shared an experience of baptism. Maybe you got baptized at the same time. This was an event in your life which has specific meaning to you because it actually means the movement from death to life in a new relationship with God. A specific event in your life which actually means that you then belong. Over and above your belonging to the fact that you actually enjoy being with people. Can you see where I'm unpacking this? All sorts of different belongings. A couple who are married belong together because they have attended the same event. It's called a wedding service. Yeah? They attended an event which defines their relationship for their life onwards from that point. Yeah? It's an event. People belong because of events that go on in their lives. The last one I want to think about is people belong because of places. Okay? There are an awful lot of people who feel that they belong to this community of the village, and specifically St. Peter's, because they have a loved one who is buried in the churchyard. That this is their place. Boughton Montchelsea, I am in the middle of, well, I've just concluded a discussion with a family who want to get a loved one buried in the churchyard, and who are arguing vehemently that this was their church, even though they've lived in Portugal. Seriously. Okay? Because they, you know, it's about place. It's about being here. You come here because you have access to this place. If you lived in Manchester, okay, you wouldn't necessarily be part of this fellowship geographically because it would be far easier for you to go and worship in a church in Manchester. Yeah. But the fact that you are geographically connected with this place actually means that this is your church. Yeah? You are a member of a school or a workplace because it happens to be somewhere that you can get to, and therefore you belong to a an activity, an organization, a structure, because of where you live. Place can be really important to people. That's why we have things like cenotaphs. Because it is a physical place where people can gather on Remembrance Sunday, and actually it is a place that they engage with because of they're doing some sort of religious, moral, ethical activity together. They gather at a place. Yeah? Okay? So you've got all of these different ideas. People belong because of people. People belong because of their activity. People belong because of the event. And people belong because of place. Now, when you go out into the world and you are welcomed by someone and you want to think, how can I share something of the gospel with them? How can I share the love of Christ with the people that I'm engaging with outside of this community that we belong to? One of the things that you need to have going on in your back of your mind is, what do they belong to? How do they think of themselves as belonging? You see, if you went and talked to, I'm not going to mention a specific name, otherwise it could get a little bit, okay, but you pick someone out of the village, you encounter them walking a dog, and they will tell you that they are part of the church community. The fact that you've never seen them in church, well, you might have done on Remembrance Sunday, okay, but never otherwise. But they will tell you they're part of the church. So how can you share the gospel with that person? Well, first of all, you need to work out that actually God is already at work in that person. God is already there ahead of you. So you're looking for things that actually mean that they feel that they belong. Maybe they belong because of a person that they have encountered. Maybe they belong because they have been at an event that has actually spoken to their heart and their mind. Maybe they belong because this is geographically where they live, and actually it means that they are then part of the Christian community that is within Boughton Montchelsea because they live here. And that's how they see things. And part of our understanding of the welcome that people offer us is understanding how people live and belong within their wider community, and how they can relate to us. Now, you've all said that you feel welcomed when a number of things happen. Okay? When you receive hospitality, when somebody offers you a glass of water, as the Bible says, or a glass of wine. Yeah? And you felt that you belonged. Yeah? So, maybe when we engage with people out in the world, we need to look for the things that help us feel welcomed, and actually see how we can actually engage with them as they welcome us, and kind of interact these ideas of belonging and welcome. So, you talk to someone, maybe there's a way that you can actually go and have a cup of coffee in a coffee shop with them. You've engaged in the hospitality, the drinking, offering cups of water, them offering you, whatever. Maybe you can find out what organizations that they belong to in and around the community that you are in, and maybe join it. Whoa, that's a dangerous one. Yes, but it might not be Christian. So, if you go, you're taking God with you. God is already there ahead of you. Bingo. You're welcoming, they're welcoming. You're belonging, they're belonging, you're building a relationship, and God is being shared. Yeah, but that's dangerous. You know, I don't want to join a bridge club. Yeah? But is God there ahead of you? I don't want to join the governors. I don't want to be part of a local council. I don't want to take my children to the local playgroup. They're not very Christian there. Well, they'll be more Christian if you go, and less Christian if you don't. Yeah? We're carrying God with us And we need to expect to meet God there. And we need to look at how we can belong and be part of things that are outside of our immediate church community so that we can grow the kingdom of God out there and not just expect people to come in here. Whoever welcomes you welcomes me. When you go out there with the intention and the expectation of actually going as an ambassador of Christ, God will be welcomed when they welcome you. The trouble is, I'm going to finish in just a moment. Most of us who go to church want church to remain how we think it ought to remain. We don't want it to change. We want to hold on to the belonging and the behaviour and the thing that we have. And we talk about welcoming people in, but actually, God actually turns it on his head, as I have said on the passage this morning. But to be a Christian is to change. Yeah. Are you the same person before you met Christ as after? Well, in one sense, maybe yes, but actually, in all the senses that matter, not. You are you, but you have a new life in Christ. And by having that new life, you have changed. That change came about because you encountered God. Somebody shared God with you. Somebody welcomed you into the fellowship. Somebody introduced you to the idea of God and prayer and the Bible and an encounter. And your life was never the same again. As we go out, we need to expect God to bring change, not just to the people that we encounter, but to us. Because if we meet God out there, just as we hope that people will change because they've met God in us, so we need to expect to change because we meet God in them. We would love for people to come here and to be like us, I think, if we're honest, aren't we? Yeah? Wouldn't it be nice if everybody came and we all were, we all worshipped God together and we all understood how everything worked together and we worshipped and we sang and we shared and we had our barbecues? Yeah? And everybody loved it and we all did the same stuff. And it would be very comfortable, wouldn't it? But God is not calling us to be comfortable. Jesus didn't seem to be a very comfortable person. We are called to help people, not to belong to this church, but to belong to God, and to recognize that belonging. Which means that we need to be open to being welcomed into places that we would not normally be caught dead in. But may very well be. Because that's what happened to our boss, wasn't it? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's just have a moment of quiet. If God has said something to you today through what I've said, or through the worship, or through the hospitality, through your conversations with those around you, Let's welcome that. Welcome the transforming power of the Holy Spirit into our lives that is making us more than we were before. The Holy Spirit who gives us the courage to speak, who gives us the words to speak, who goes ahead of us into the world. If God has touched you in some way this morning, then please don't go home until you've acknowledged that in some way. Maybe that might mean talking to someone here, praying with someone here, talking to a friend, just talking to God. But recognize that God is at work in you and he hasn't finished with you yet, as the saying goes. So, Father, we offer to you this time, this place, this activity, these people. Lord, we are part of your family here. But, Lord, we are also part of your family around the world. And you call us out. So strengthen us, guide us, give us your peace, your wisdom, your discernment, that we can recognize you and join in with what you're doing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you all very much for listening.